everyone, to Authors on the Air. I'm your host, Pam Stack. We are proud to be part of the Authors on the Air Global Radio Network. I wish I had started this show about 5 minutes earlier when Stephanie Ivanovich and I were giggling in the green room. It would have been a great intro to this show. So, New York Times bestselling author Stephanie Ivanovich is here. Her first book, Big Girl Panties, blasted her to the top of the New York Times bestseller list. She's since written other books. She's working on the Sweet Spot. No, you published the Sweet Spot already. Total Package.
Yeah,
if you haven't updated your. You haven't updated your website, dear. Anyway, the new book
I
is called. You do, and it's really cute. The new book is called Under the Table, and I actually have read all of Stephanie's books, but Under the Table is the new one. It just released on the 16th. Hey, welcome, Steph.
Thanks, Pam. I'm so happy to be here.
Where were you today? You were out running around signing books, weren't you?
Yesterday, you know what? I had two appearances in Cleveland, which is one of my favorite cities.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And I drove, like, so I got up early this morning because, you know what, I could say this to you, like,
yes, you
I
can.
Missed my dog overwhelmingly. Like, all of a sudden at 5 a.m., I was like, if I don't get home to my dog right away, something bad's going to happen to me. So I packed up and I drove back from Cleveland in the pre-dawn hour.
Oh, my God. Why didn't you just take your dog?
My dog was really happy to see me for like 5 minutes because you know what? It's like not a vacation. Like it's not even fun because she knows, like, you know, she's hitched that my kids grew up and she's like their replacement. And she works that.
Oh,
she like
God.
Uses it against us badly. So,
that's so funny.
You know, I left her home and I was good for the first couple of days, but I was just ready to come home. And then of course, you know what? I was gone for 4 days, and, like, I live in New Jersey. I know you guys are in Florida. And it was like when I came back, I had leaves on my trees. I was so happy.
Aww.
Like, it's spring here finally, you know.
Well, you know, it's
New
actually
Jersey.
We're having a really nice weather right now. All the windows are open. It's nice and breezy. This is very unusual for April in Southwest Florida. But I almost am considering turning on the air conditioner, except it gets down into the high 60s in the evenings, and it's so beautiful. So I don't want to. My electric bill goes over $40, I'm practically apoplectic, you know, about the whole thing. So.
Not to mention air conditioning
well,
is like Lay's potato chips. Once you have one,
just
got to keep it on. Like,
I
want to. You know what?
I think we should have a national holiday named after Mr. Train, who invented the first air conditioner. So,
I'm there.
Thank you. So let's tell everybody about you. I don't know if you know, besides writing, just really great romance, contemporary romance, and it's funny and it's heart-wrenching and it's always got a great HEA. And the thing I love about Stephanie's books are that there is not just this drop gorgeous girl who walks in and blinks her eyes and says, oh, I don't care how good looking you are, I don't want you, even though she's gorgeous. It just doesn't happen like that. Her girls are real girls, and that's the fun of reading Stephanie's books. But prior to that, Stephanie was a film and theater major and studied improvisational. You'll never guess that her books are laced with humor until you talk to her. And then you decided to go ahead and start writing. So, which you were doing kind of in between, you know, cues on stage and things like that. Did you know that you wanted to write in this genre?
You know what? I knew that if I was going to be a writer, it was going to be in this genre.
It had to be.
Meaning that, you know what, I tried to be like, I knew I wanted to be in entertainment. And I started as like a little girl singing. And then as a teenager, I started smoking, which blew that idea right out of the water. So then
but
I
you were cool.
Well, I'll still sing, but nobody really wants to hear it. Certainly won't pay for it. So then I tried acting for literally, I don't know, 30 years on and off. See, my dog knows I'm on the phone. I don't know if you can hear her barking.
There, it's
there
okay.
She is.
One of my cats will probably meow at you, you know. So
I could speak Siamese and Tabby.
Okay.
And a little bit of Bengal. Wow.
There you go.
So I tried to be an actor, and I lived literally, I lived probably a mile outside of Asbury Park, New Jersey, where they film an unusual amount of TV, movies, videos.
Wow.
And I was always finding out that they would be filming, like, when it was in the movie theater or on television. So I kind of realized that
funny.
I didn't have connections to. I didn't have the connections to get me into acting. But I did have an interesting name when it came to publishing.
Right.
So I thought, yeah. So I thought, well, let's, you know, we'll give this one more shot. And writing was always something that, you know, I didn't take any courses in it. I certainly didn't major in any sort of creative writing sort of thing. So it was really kind of a shot in the dark and like an act of desperation to just entertain, which, of course, leads me to my favorite, you know, sort of mantra, you know, to never say never and to always be flexible in your dream, because sometimes your dream is not exactly what you think you want.
Right.
As long as you're flexible,
right.
You get there. And
you use your creativity in just a different way. And I'm sure you've acted out all the roles of the characters in your books. So that even probably makes you a better writer. So here you come along and you write Big Girl Panties, your first book that gets published, and you blow up to the New York Times bestseller list. How must that have felt for you?
It was surreal. And at the same time, it's not like Christmas. It's sort of like all the holidays wrapped into one, but at the same time, you realize that you still got dirty dishes in your sink and your life didn't change all that much.
And you have to do it again on the next book and the next one and the next one.
Yeah.
So now the pressure's really on for you as the writer to do. And I read Big Girl Panties. It was one of my favorite books because that girl was me in a younger, you know, finding the love or anything, but you know, I was the fat kid. So I get that completely. I loved the story.
Holly was a lot of people. And you know what, it was important when I read Holly, that she not, and I try to do this with all my female, you know, main characters. They don't not like themselves. And I think that's so important, is that they don't spend a great deal of the book, of any book, going, you know, I'm not good enough. You know, they're not wishy-washy.
Right.
They know
right.
they're worthy. They know they're worthy of humans and being human. And I really do try to bring that. Like, I make a conscious effort to bring that into my characters, that they don't have that self-loathing. That's exhausting.
All that angst is hard to read, too, and especially in a romance. Yes, I understand if someone has a tragic past and they've, you know, come through it with some PTSD and everything, but I don't want to hear it in every paragraph. I'm sorry, I just don't. When I'm reading contemporary romance, and especially it's supposed to be kind of lighthearted, it damn well better be lighthearted, because I could, you know, we all have an embarrassment of riches when it comes to books. We can go to Amazon and for, you know, under the price of a cup of Starbucks coffee, buy another book and just move on. And so, you know, go ahead.
Can I just add something really quick? That thanks to Amazon, you know, there are so many, many good writers out there.
Yes.
First of all, that anybody who's got a passion for writing, they have at least one good story in them, whether it took them a year write or their life to write. If they really want to write a story, they got one good story in them. But I think that thanks to Amazon, that opened up the field to writers who, you know, still believed in their talent, but were tired of banging their heads against the wall trying to break in to traditional public. So
I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right. Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you.
I mean, through the cracks, you know, like there are, you know, there's so many out there. You know, not everyone is Hemingway, but there's something out there for everyone and what they like to read.
Well, you're not kidding.
And they just go around and find it, you know.
Yeah, as witnessed by, I told you about my library, how big it is. I actually turned my second bedroom into a library, and it kind of serves two purposes. You know, all the walls are lined with sign books, which I'm thrilled about. And then if someone wants to come to Florida on vacation, I say, oh, there's a Motel 6 right down the street. You know, so I don't have to take care of them. But sure, I'll meet you for cocktails. Tell me where, you know. We'll go out to the water. We'll go off the island or something.
That's awesome.
So totally get that. But by the same token, it's interesting because I know Amazon is difficult for writers too, that you have to really – you have to understand that just because you're in Amazon doesn't mean you don't market yourself if you're self-published. And even in your case, you have a big publishing house behind you, but you still have to market yourself. You have to make arrangements for a lot of this. So I'm really glad that you mentioned that. And the fact is that, you know, I have 5 Kindles, and each is filled with books from a different genre because that's how much I like to read. So I told you I'm a bad meme. So, you know, let's talk about Under the Table, because this book is just so adorable. And so much fun to read. Your reviews are great on it. I had to interview when Andrew was like saying, you've got to interview Stephanie. This is a great book. So he sent it to me like overnight or something. I read it and I said, set up the interview. Gosh, yes, I want to interview her. It was so funny.
Wow,
so, you know,
thank you.
You've got a fan down there. So let's talk about our sweet little Zoe, who has fled her life in kind of bare after a crappy ex and a dead end. It's a dead end marriage, let's face it. And she's a Midwesterner and she wants to have a little fun. So what does she do? She takes off to Manhattan. Of course she does.
Right.
Of course she does.
That's
where else
would
you go?
Know, that's right.
Either
well,
there at South Beach, and believe me, after 5 days at South Beach, you're burned out. So I know I used to live there.
Or where Tristan originally ended up, which was Las Vegas.
Right.
But that didn't work out so well for him.
Right.
And you know what I know?
And your scene, by the way, with him explaining what happened was just funny. And it was heartbreaking. I wanted to say, oh, no, baby, come here. Let me hold you.
Yes.
Mama Pam's going to take care of you, you know. Sweet thing.
I don't want to give away too much of the plot.
We're not going to give it away, but trust me and Stephanie, you have got to read the book to find out what happened to Tristan in Las Vegas. It's a story you will never read anywhere else, I promise you. Anywhere.
Yeah.
So
that's what I aimed for.
Let's do the gist of the story then, and we'll skip over all the really good parts and just tell the gist of the story, but not the ending.
Right.
It's your book. You tell.
Like I was starting to say is that, you know, her husband isn't necessarily an awful guy, but you know what? When you hook up young, like, you know, when you're marrying your high school sweetheart, one of two things is happening. You're either going to grow together or you're going to grow apart. And it's
you're not kidding.
Because you know what? When you're in your 20s, you are supposed to grow. You're not supposed
to
be the same people your whole life. You know what
gosh,
I mean?
Oh, gosh, that's for sure.
So, and I think they just really, really grew apart. But you know what? He's a little misogynistic and, you know, so I worked that into it. But she needed to, you know, break away. She needed to at least
find
out. And, of course, you have, like, sister who actually, her sister's older, and usually you're older, you know, this is true with my own children. I have two sons as well as my older. I only have one sister and she's older. And usually your firstborn is that one who is cautious and strives for perfection and really is like the rule follower. And that's just sort of one of those birthright things. But I wanted to flip that up and make, you know, Ruth be the one who really just was so carefree, like to the point of being dangerous. And Zoe, as the younger sister, always having to worry about, you know, her sister. So that led to fun, too. And Ruth is actually another one of my favorite characters because she's just no holds barred.
She really is. And I have to tell you, I'm the oldest one in my family, and I had three younger brothers. My second brother is the one who's the brainiac who does it. Well, actually, all my brothers did. I was the one who kind of made it, you know. I mean, if there was a white line down the street, I didn't know if I want to dance on the left or the right. You know, I could go either way there with staying in trouble or crossing that line. So made it pretty easy for them. They really did not do anything that horrified my parents. So, you know, there's an exception to every rule, I suppose. But
that is true.
This is the story of how Zoe decides she's going to cook, privately cater events to earn a living because
right.
she loves to cook.
And that's
and
definitely
somehow,
her passion.
And I love to cook, so I get it completely. So let's talk about how she meets Tristan, how all this comes about.
He's having a business meeting and wants to have, you know, he's very shy. He's sheltered. And he, you know, was raised by his grandparents, which being that my parents are like in their 80s, that was actually kind of fun to fill him with the knowledge, being that
right.
he was just around with a bunch of, you know, feisty and fun old people. So they're listening to the Perry Como and the Frank Sinatra and they read. So that's really where he was disconnected from, and he grew up in the Virgin Islands. So
right.
he had a whole different life experience, and he moved to the big city because he wanted to try out, you know, the adventure of life. And he's having a little, you know, he's having a little struggle, so he hires Zoe to at least come, so that way when he has this business meeting, he's at least got his, you know, home field advantage.
It was delightful. He knew every food that he wanted to be served and prepared, and she did an exceptionally good job. But it was kind of like one of those hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo meetings. You don't really know what's going on. His dinner guests are stopping talking every time she goes in to change out the plates and bring in a new dish and so on. And so she's dying of curiosity, and he seems very nonplussed by the whole thing, which I love, because being as how he was so disconnected to the big city all his life and now having to, you know, meet Zoe and kind of have these kind of meetings, it makes it very intriguing. You don't really know what he does.
No, you don't. But you know what I borrowed from? My last corporate job was I was working for a government contractor. It was actually my first and last corporate job. And most of those government contractors are retired service personnel, Army, Navy,
right.
that kind of thing.
Right, right.
And you really, like, it was not a kind of work. Like, the work atmosphere itself was so terribly disciplined that,
wow.
like, it was very, everybody operated out of self-control, sort of like the Army. Like, that's really how it felt. And, of course, you find out Tristan's grandfather is retired Army. So it seemed logical for him to take that very, you know, you may be shaking inside, but you just give that blank face
And that's, you know, their way of faking it till they make it. And he just was able to,
he was good at it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which only made her all the more what's going on, you know?
Right. You know, I adored this book just as much as I adored your first one. And I hope you have another one coming down the pike soon.
I can't say when they'll be down the pike, and I wouldn't until, like, to me that's bad karma. You don't, like,
right.
Until it's in stone, you kind of keep it to yourself.
Right, right.
But I definitely have two books that I've been working on that I haven't had that much joy working. Like, the hard part is which book do I work on today? Because I love both, but I can't switch my brain like that, you know? So
Right.
I love the two of them. They have amazing, fun heroes. And again, feisty, you know, this is 2019. These are the years of the women and women. I want to write smart women, strong women. They don't need saving. They just are okay within themselves, but they're looking for, you know, they're welcoming of anyone to join them on their journey.
Oh, I love that.
And give them a little bit of romance, but they're certainly fine on their own. And, I love the way it's turning out. Not that I have I don't have anything against my alpha males. But I do think that, you know, their time right now is to take a back seat to really strong, empowered women.
That's right. I agree with you.
They
I
don't
agree.
Need a man, but they can certainly want. But they can certainly want.
Absolutely, I love that.
Yep.
Oh, Stephanie Ivanovich, tell everyone where they can find you out there on the webs and in social media.
You can find me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. I have a website that I forget about occasionally, and that's very bad of me, I understand. I'm going to try to get myself in gear with that. And I promise the theme of, you know, when my agent was sending out under the table to people, she got feedback that said that they referred to it as a blifticure, and I really want to run with that because we could use uplifted. You know, there's never a bad time to be uplifted, and there's never too much. So if you follow me on media, I can only promise you it is lighthearted. I have no opinions on horrible. I mean, I do have opinions, but I'm not interested in sharing them. I am there entertain, and I try to keep it entertaining and light. And Griffin the pup, she comes along and helps me sometimes. I throw my husband in there, whether he wants to or not. And we just look to have a lot of fun, and I love to laugh. Whether it's me doing it or whether it's me providing the laughter, I'm in. I'm all in.
I knew you would be. I knew this about you. When we were in the green room, it was obvious this is not going to be my normal radio show.
Yeah.
I'm so glad that you're here. And thank you for agreeing to just come in a little bit later to accommodate your schedule and not make me wait, because, you know, I adore you and your book. And you're coming back for sure, aren't you?
Anytime you ask. And like I told Andrew, I just couldn't bear the thought of having this conversation with you from, like, my car. As I said to Andrew, I wanted to give you my full attention, and I'm so glad that we were able to work it out for tonight.
Oh, of course. Oh,
it's
absolutely.
It's a great way to end an evening.
It really is. You're the best. This is Stephanie Ivanovich. The book is Under the Table. Please go to brick and mortar. You can go to any online retailer. The book is just fun. It is uplifting. It's funny. It'll grab you by the heart, and it'll leave you feeling so good when you finish reading. Stephanie, you're coming back, aren't you?
Anytime you ask.
Okay. You know how to find me, and I know how to find you.
You got it. I think we're friends on Facebook now. So.
We are.
Yeah. I'm excited.
Thank you so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you for being with me. Have a good night. Rest and relax after the book tour, and you and I will talk again soon. As for my listeners, I'm so glad you are here, and thank you, Mom and Dad. Good night, everyone.
Thanks, Pam. Bye.